The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
My little miracle is Beckett.
Yay. You look great.
A month after his third birthday.
Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens, where all the sports talkers royal reel straight from the boroughs. Today's Wednesday, December 17th. This is episode 209. I'm Gino, joined by my co-hosts Kevin and Darren. Please catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Give us a look. Join our pages. If you got something to say, tell us. We'll get back to you. Tonight, NFL Week 15 brought chaos, heartbreak, and playoff dreams alive. The Chiefs dynasty shaken, the Broncos and Rams rising, the Bills storming back in epic fashion. Strap in, Queens, because the road to the postseason just got wild. We also got some baseball we're going to talk about. We got some college football playoffs to talk about. We're going to get it going with some football right off the bat. Let's talk locally to start it off. Jacksonville beats the Jets 48-20. Lawrence was sensational, tossing five touchdowns, accounting for six scores. Jags reaffirmed their hold on the AFC South. Kev, let's talk about the Jets to start.
All right, I'm going to start with the offense first because, you know, at least on the offense you have excuses. You know, Brady Cook, I thought he had some moments where he looked okay, especially the first quarter. And then he had a few bad throws in there. The interception before halftime, you know, you're down 24-10. Getting the ball to start the second half. Maybe if you get down there to score any points, but he throws and out, leaves it too much inside. The defender makes a nice play, gives Jacksonville a short field, 31-10 at halftime, game's over. Second half, the other bad throw was the interception in the end zone. To me, that's more of a learning thing. Game is over by then, it didn't matter. But that's more, you want to see Brady Cook figure the NFL out and see if he can be a good backup quarterback. But overall, I thought Brady Cook was sort of what you'd expect from a rookie, undrafted free agent. The good things, you know, A.D. Mitchell with another touchdown catch. And I like the fact that Isaiah Williams is starting to get involved with the offense a little bit too. Six catches, 53 yards. And he would have had a punt return touchdown except for a real shaky penalty there that negated it. The other side of the ball is a whole different story. The defense, atrocious again. The scheme looked terrible. You know, Quincy was on Etienne too many times, you know, got burned too many times. Some of the injuries don't help. I mean, the entire secondary, Azariah Thomas, Brownlee, Cisco, Oliver. I mean, they're banged up. A lot of guys on IR. But a lot of the blame falls, as it turned out, Monday morning was Steve Wilks getting it. And Darren, I know that made you extremely happy.
Unbelievably thrilled. I've been wanting this guy out since week three. The problem, they embarrassed themselves, Kev. I mean, the best thing about the game was Cook. You know why? Because he didn't look like the game was too fast for him. He wasn't great. He wasn't amazing, but he didn't look like he was overmatched. So at least we're giving him a shot, right? The bad picks, but whatever. You know, the O-line was okay until they knew they had to throw every down. Then it got a little bit tough, but you can't really crush him. The receiving core, less than stellar, but Adonai Mitchell has been – He's part of the future. Him and Garrett across from each other looks like it's something that you like. But on the defensive side of the ball, this team flat out embarrassed themselves. There's no team in the league more ill-prepared, more predictable. Guys that, you know, we had guys that look good last year, like McDonald's and Quincy. that look awful this year. McDonald can't get pressure at all. He's had sacks in three games. I know he has a decent number of sacks all in three games. The other 11, whatever. Jermaine, three sacks. This is a guy who wasn't necessarily last year, early on a little bit before he got hurt, but it was like week two or three last year. But in prior years, he looked good. Quincy Williams looks like he doesn't belong on the field right now. He doesn't know whether to run in, run out. Sherwood looks okay at making tackles, but there's nothing about this team that you like. You feel like you have 20 holes on this team. So when you sit there and say, wow, we got to go out and get a quarterback, or we got to trade up, there's so many holes. I mean, unless the guy you love falls to you, you can't do it. That's how bad this team is. The Jets have 22 sacks. Myles Garrett has 21 and a half. I don't know what to say. The guy's getting double teamed on every freaking play. He got 21 and a half. The Jets got 22. Jets have exactly zero interceptions in 14 games. That's freaking impossible. I feel like if the three of us were in the backfield, we could steal one, and we can barely move. And these guys can't get one pick. No one's ever in the right place. That's got to fall on Wilkes. I mean, as much as everybody wanted to pick on Saleh and then Ulbrich, the defense never looked like this. This is pathetic. This is horrible. The right move was done. It's time to move on. Harris is supposedly an up-and-comer. Let's see what he can do. This is his audition for the spot. Clearly, they're letting Glenn stick it out. They're letting them fire people during midseason. So we'll see Aaron Glenn next year, despite the 3-11 record. I'm okay with that. I don't know if everybody else is, but I'm okay with giving Glenn a second chance. Kev?
I want to see Glenn back again next year. Nothing this season is his fault.
Well, listen, he hired Wilkes.
Except he's the head coach.
He wanted Fields. I mean, listen, we could sit there and he could try to blame everybody else, but these are guys he picked. But at the same time, it's his first time. We just can't keep having a new coach every year.
No.
You got to try to have a system for 3 years and see if we could do something with it. You have enough draft capital. If the team doesn't get any better getting into year three, then there all of a sudden we have some things to look at. But, Gino, the Jets just god awful. Just god awful. I think that they made the right move, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, with the draft capital they have and with how many holes they have, I don't want to be trading up and wasting draft picks trying to trade up to get, especially Mendoza this year. I'd rather wait, bring in the veteran guy, Mariota or somebody of that type, and get your quarterback in 26 if you need to, or 27, I guess that would be.
Exactly. If I can get Jameis, I'll take Jameis.
Yeah.
But, yeah, listen, you can't talk that much about a 3-11 team. Not much more to say. Kev?
I mean, the good things are Cook is starting again this week, even though it looks like Taylor and Fields, one of them at least, is going to be healthy enough to be the backup. I'd rather see Cook in there.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see anybody else until the end of the year. I can't imagine that we would.
Lazard's released. Last little bit from the Aaron Rodgers failed experiment there. And a couple of extensions, Josh Myers, a center, Jeremy Rucker, a tight end. I think both were very affordable, good, solid contracts extensions for guys who are pretty solid.
To be honest, Muji's done all right.
Yeah.
It's hard to criticize him outside of the Fields thing, which both you and I thought was okay. So I can't even act like I thought it was horrible when he did it, because I didn't.
Yeah. Gino was right. Gino was right on that call. The two of us were wrong. Hey,
absolutely. You're allowed to be right and brag a little bit, James. All right. You're
listen,
modest.
The side point of that is, though, is that even with a different quarterback in here, this team is in a rebuild. Maybe you have an extra couple of wins, but it's just the overall way it went down. Fields was okay. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. Then he was bad. Just the way it is.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Jets at 3-11. And now we move to the Giants, who are at 2-12. Washington beat them 29-21. Commander snapped an 8-game losing streak. Fueled by a punt return touchdown and a sharp passing performance by Kevin, who just mentioned Marcus Mariota. Loss was the 8th consecutive for the Giants. Darren, any comments?
Well, listen, they just don't get pressure. They don't tackle well. There's just really nothing about this team on the defensive side of the ball. They don't cover. It's like the defensive side of the team, which I thought was going to be a strength, has just been a nightmare. Dart still gives you some excitement. There's something about him, but he ends up in the injury tent every freaking week. He's going to have to learn how to protect himself a little bit better, or his career will last three seasons. CRG3. I mean, this is what we're looking at. I mean, yeah. he could be a career backup with a concussion waiting to happen, like is, you know, what's going on, you know, with Tua and stuff like that, or what happened to Griffin. But, yeah, there's just something about this team that just with that great defensive line talent on paper, nothing translates. And Tyrone Tracy's been pretty good. He's probably the one guy on the offense besides Dart that you kind of look at and say, okay, he could be a nice two-headed monster with Scadaboo as they go forward. Really, outside of that, there's nothing that blows you away about the Giants.
Washington, the only point I'll mention is at least they came out and said that my man is not going to – Daniels is not going to play for the rest of the year. That's the best thing they could have said to me. No, you –
Why bother playing him?
I agree. I completely agree. When they said last week that he was going to play, I'm like, why? Yeah. Why are you doing that? Why?
Yeah, my funny thing with that is that obviously if you're a Washington fan, you may feel differently. You don't mind if they play well and they give you competitive games and they win. But if they lose, you get a better draft pick and you know you have a talented quarterback. You have a talented wide receiver. You have talent kind of all over the field. They didn't do enough on defense, in my opinion, in the offseason.
I agree. That's
what they have to focus on.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go through the playoff picture. We'll start with the AFC. Broncos, number one seed. They're the AFC West leader. They clinched the playoff spot. They lead the AFC with the best conference record. They beat Green Bay 34-26. Bo Nix was really, really good. He threw four touchdown passes to lead the Broncos to the victory. Packers suffered 2% potential injuries. We'll get to them after. Darren?
Yeah, the only point I'll make is Bo Nix seems to play up to competition, does he not?
Yeah.
Seems like when the team he's playing is better, he seems to find a way. And maybe it's him and Peyton are just more on the same page. Whatever it may be, as much as I dislike Sean Payton, you can't argue with the job he's done. And Bo Nix, who sometimes looked erratic and lost earlier in the year, played a great game against a good defense and Parsons, and we'll get to the injuries later, didn't get hurt till late. So it wasn't like that injury spurred him on. It was like, you know, it's like the Mahomes injury we'll get to later. It wasn't till late. The Chargers already kind of had that game controlled. Same thing. I was just really impressed with the way Nix played.
Yeah, Darren, your point, I mean, Nix looked so bad against the Jets. He didn't look that great against the Giants until very late. I mean, like I say, you put it perfectly. He plays up to the level of competition, it seems like.
All right. Number two seed, New England. They're at 11-3. They lost to the Bills 35-31. Josh Allen led a furious 21-point comeback. They were down 21-0. Bills scored touchdowns on five consecutive drives to defeat the Pats. Bills right now are the sixth seed at 10-4. New England is the two seed at 11-3. Bills are all of a sudden in really good shape for the wild card because of some other things. We'll get to that. Darren?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Kev's going to feel the same way. I'm interested to see how May bounces back after the collapse. Yep. And then basically at the end of the game, they had the ball back. And, you know, he had a 3rd and 5 where he had so much room to run. He just threw it away. And then the 4th down play got you know, knocked down and the deflection, and that was the game. Josh Allen does a hell of a lot with him and James Cook and not a good receiver around them. Good tight ends.
Yeah.
Really good tight ends. Not one receiver would start on any of these other playoff teams most likely. And he finds a way to put up numbers. He zips it off the wrong foot. He does everything impossible, but he that looks impossible, but they can't tackle the guy. I caught myself. I wouldn't say I was rooting for New England, but part of me was kind of happy that Buffalo was getting slapped around, and then I was happy Buffalo came back. So I was all over the place. I don't know who to root for in this game, Kev. I don't know where to go with.
I was rooting against New England more than
me too. Me too. Buffalo.
All right, three seed is Jacksonville. They're at 10-4. We talked about them. They beat the Jets. They are now basically at 10-4. They're almost in at this point. I mean, there's going to be very little that's going to stop them from getting into the playoffs. They're the 3 seed. 4 seed right now are the Steelers. They're at 8-6. They are the AFC North leader. They hold a slight edge over the Ravens in the North. We'll get to the Ravens in a couple of minutes. Pittsburgh defeated Miami on Monday night. They had a dominant second half. They scored four TDs on four straight drives. Darren?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that they hadn't lost a home Monday night game since the Chuck Knoll era. I didn't know it was that long. I knew it was a long time. I didn't know it was Chuck freaking Knoll. You know, that kind of threw me off. Rodgers looked good.
He did.
That's only two coaches ago.
I know, but it's forever. It's forever. Cowher the whole time. Tomlin the whole time. You know, the funny thing is, and Rodgers looked good, is that the end of that – Troy Aikman's the best announcer in the game. I'm sorry. I don't think there's anybody close. They can talk about Romo. You can talk about Brady or anybody else you like. But Aikman is so honest. And him ripping Miami for not even trying to do a hurry-up offense in the fourth quarter. And then they cut it to 11. Then they try. He's like, I don't even know what I'm watching. He's so blunt about it, which makes him great. And Miami, whose offense looked unstoppable against the Jets until Achane went out, couldn't do a thing until the fourth quarter when the Steelers kind of let him a little bit, let him get the short passing game going and hit Waller all over the place. But, you know, Pittsburgh, again, they don't lose. Tomlin doesn't have losing seasons, and it looks like he's going to get another one. I don't know if they're going to hold off Baltimore, but, wow, it's pretty good. All they have to do is win the last game against Baltimore, and they clinch the division. They don't have to do much.
Yeah. Kevin? I mean, that defense looked real good, especially with Watt not playing because of that dry needling that
– Yep.
punctures his lung there, and I mean, that's like, what? But yeah, great job by Pittsburgh defense and Miami after, I guess today was announced that Tua is being benched for Quinn Ewers.
Now, I know we don't talk fantasy on this show, but just note that my two quarterbacks were Mahomes and Tua. Now, I won, so I'm going into the semifinals, and I had to pick up Rodgers and Cousins because there's nobody left really else to pick. I could pick up Bryce Young. I just didn't trust him. And it was just against Tampa. And I'm just like, Jesus, this is my life now. I'm going to lose in the semifinals because I lost both quarterbacks. I thought Tua as a backup against Cincinnati was something. Didn't get the opportunity and I can't go to Quinn Ewers. Sorry.
You didn't want Tyler Shock against the Jet defense?
I don't want to root against the Jets that bad. I couldn't do it. I wanted to. I did want to. I don't know. I'm all over the place. I still might pick them up. I still have four more moves left. Anyway,
Five seed is the Chargers. They're 10-4. They hold the first wild card spot via a better AFC record than the Bills at the moment. Chargers beat the Chiefs 16-13. Chargers completed a season sweep of the Chiefs, securing the victory. Win was overshadowed in the fourth quarter by a late game season ending knee injury to Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. He's done for the year. Chiefs out of the playoffs. Darren?
Yeah, the dynasty ends. I mean, seven straight years in the AFC championship game. You really can't argue with the success they had. But simple fact of the matter is, Chiefs had a 13-3 lead in this game. And then Herbert, you know, despite the fact that he's under pressure every single play.
Wow.
With a broken hand. If you're not impressed by the way this kid plays, I don't know what you're looking for. He's tough to the umpteenth degree. And, you know, it wasn't like he lit it up against the Chiefs. The Chiefs D was fine, but the Charger D just kept the Chiefs stymied the entire game. And it just looked like the whole season for the Chiefs was them looking for answers on something that they haven't had to look for before and didn't know where to look. Yeah. So the Chiefs now will go with Gardner Minshew probably through the midway of next year. And, you know, this could be 2 years where they in a row where they don't make the playoffs or more. You never know what happens. They're $40 million over the cap already. The season hasn't even ended yet. So there's a lot of moves that they have to make over there.
With Mahomes missing the rest of the season, he still will not have taken a snap with the Chiefs eliminated from the playoffs.
That's just a lucky of the draw for him. But, yeah, that's great.
All right, Bills at the 6th seed. We talked about them. The Texans at the 7th seed. They beat the Cardinals 40-20. Stroud threw 3 touchdowns. The game was basically out of whack very early. They're the 7th seed at 9-5. And now we get into two teams that are on the outside looking in. The first is the Colts. They're at 8-6. They lost to the Seahawks 18-16. And then behind them are the Ravens at 7-7. They beat the Bengals 24-0. So they're competing with Pittsburgh in the AFC North, but they are 2 games behind Houston right now as the seventh playoff team. Colts are at 8-6. Just a small little fact just to you guys. So preseason, we picked our division winners in the AFC South. We picked three different teams between the three of us. They may all make the playoffs, yeah, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. Darren, any
comments? 2 months I look like a genius, and then the Colts, the injuries hit me in Indianapolis.
Well, I couldn't believe the kicking contest, though. I mean, Myers and Groupie combined 9 for 9.
Yep.
Well, 4 for 4 from 50. And just when you thought Rivers had pulled it out and Groupie hits a 60-yarder with 47 seconds left, you thought,
I know, it's crazy.
What a Cinderella. And then Darnold gets a couple of pass completions. Myers hits this from 56 to win the game.
And both kickers, both offenses almost played for a 60 and a 56-yard field goal. It was like, okay, we're going to play for the 60 here for Groupie. And you're like, you know, I mean, he got cut by the Saints like 3 weeks ago, and that kicker buried one from the Irish kid, buried one from 100 almost, it seemed like. And then I think he's from Northern Ireland. And then, you know, Myers from 56, who's, you know, 103 years old, he just buries it like it's nothing. It just nice and smooth and easy. Not like nobody kicks it as smooth as Aubrey, but he's close. It's a really good game. And two good teams. And, you know, Rivers showed you something. Baltimore's not getting in unless they win the division.
I agree.
For a guy that hadn't taken a snap in 5 years or whatever it was, Rivers, he wasn't great, but he kept the Colts in the game.
You could tell the game plan itself that was devised so that he wasn't throwing anything long. He wasn't in the pocket, as you know. They would try to get him out of the pocket, throw the ball, hand the ball off as quick as possible. So,
no doubt about it.
But listen, the Colts have at Miami, home for Arizona, and home for Cleveland in their last three. So, you know, they're still right there. A couple of wins, you know, they get to 10 wins with two out of three, they get to 10. They wind up 10-7.
They could easily, I mean, listen, San Francisco's a home game, so it's feasible for them to get three.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know Purdy's playing great, so I'm saying there's a shot.
Wait, not San Francisco.
Football fan of me is rooting for Rivers. The Jet fan of me is rooting against Colts.
The Colts host the Niners this week, G.
Colts on the line this week, yeah.
What did I miss? Okay.
I know they have the Niners this week. If the other two
games are the same. I'm on something different. I apologize. You're right.
No problem. But I mean, listen, if they can find a way, to get two out of three or three in a row, you never know what happens.
Yeah. I mean, okay, now I'm looking at the schedule. That's what I thought originally, and then I was off. So they're home for San Francisco, home for Jacksonville, and at Houston. So 10 is not going to be easy to get to, but if you get one or two out of these, you may have some kind of chance.
Listen, you can get a tiebreaker over one of those teams. It could be something, particularly Jacksonville, really. I mean, that's the one.
All right, let's move to the NFC. So the one seed is the Rams. They are the NFC West leader at the moment at 11-3. They clinched a playoff spot, and they lead the NFC due to the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Seahawks, who have the same record at the moment. So the Rams, they beat the Lions 41-34. They stormed back from a 24-14 deficit. Stafford was really good again. Darren?
I don't know what a touchdown is. Parkinson catches the ball at the one, gets touchdown. Then you don't know if he bobbled it. You don't know if it's a catch or not. Also, I'm wondering if they're going to call it a catch, and then they rule it a touchdown. Now, probably the Rams get in, most likely. I'm not saying that turned the game around. Just some of these calls, they're reviewing them. And then they're going to try to tell me that he was juggling it and didn't gain control till he got in the end zone. I mean, come on. He got touched down at the one. Anybody can do that, throw it to themselves. I mean, I didn't even know if he had a legit catch. And all of a sudden, they called it a touchdown. Just the weirdest part of the game. Nothing to take away from the Rams. They play great. They're an awesome team. Corum is really kind of risen up. Not as a Kyron Williams guy on my fantasy team, don't love to see it. But that two-headed monster at running back, plus, I mean, if Devontae Adams can get back from that from the injury,
and
Nakua and the tight ends all contribute, and the O-line's been great. I don't know. It's hard not to like this team. But down the stretch, they get the Seahawks. This is the game because they're at Seattle, and then they get the Falcons and the Cardinals, which are two winnable games. But if they want to win the division, they win this one. They basically have it because they'll have a one-game lead but with the tiebreaker against went against Seattle.
We're two to play. You're right.
It's a great Thursday night game. We don't always get them. This is a really – this is the best game of the weekend. It's on Thursday.
Yeah.
All right. Two seed of the Bears. They lead the NFC North. They destroyed the Browns 31-3 at the same time the Green Bay lost. So they're ahead of Green Bay now in the NFC North. They're the two seed. The three seed is the Eagles. They beat the Raiders 31-0. Nothing much to talk about there. They're the NFC East leader.
Raiders are the worst team in football by far.
Yeah, they ended a three-game losing streak. So
I think Carroll's going to get fired.
I could definitely see it happening at this point. Combine that with the Dallas loss, and it's basically done now. That you know, they're going to win the NFC East.
Yeah, Dallas, this a very disappointing game on Sunday night. I was stunned at how badly they played.
They did. The four seed is the Bucks. They are the NFC South leader. They lead. The lead is because they have the tiebreaker over the Panthers. They're at 7-7. They lost to the Falcons 29-28. Falcons overcame a staggering 19 penalties in the game. Zane Gonzalez walk-off field goal for the win.
Kev?
Falcons also overcame the stupid coaching, the stupid go for two down 14. They went for it twice. They missed twice. They had to get a third possession. The Buccaneers handed them the game. I mean, they were fortunate to pull that one out. I hate coaches that do this.
I know it's the analytic thing. It's just ridiculous. Baker Mayfield is either much more hurt than we realize or he's just is just in a bad slump because he has not looked good. They had a 14-point lead, but he does not look good. He's got to be hurt.
I agree. I agree with that also.
And Carolina, by the way, the same way, they lose to a rookie quarterback charging down the field with a late drive after they take the lead. So it's like neither team really wants a division, but Atlanta did their very best to piss it away early. And New Orleans, we knew, was a team that was going to be a struggling team all year, especially when Carver, retired like right before the season started.
Shuck's kind of playing pretty scrappy there.
Listen, there's nothing not to like about Shuck. He's definitely a guy that might have the job. They may not draft quarterback right away. They might feel other needs as well, just like we were talking about with the Jets earlier.
And they play each other twice in the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
Seattle is the fifth seed at the moment. They're at 11-3. We talked about them with the Rams. They beat the Colts. We talked about that game. They beat the Colts 18-16. Sixth seed is San Francisco. They beat the Titans 37-24. They're in a solid playoff position at the moment at 10-4. The seventh seed, we talked about the Packers. They lost to the Broncos. They're at 9-4-1. And then the two teams on the outside looking in, Detroit is at 8-6. They lost to the Rams. And the team after that is Carolina, and they're in a tie with Tampa. Three games left. They lost to the Saints. We just touched on that. I mean, 2017, last second game-winning field goal for New Orleans for the victory. And that's the playoff scenarios at the moment.
Listen, we got a good week of games this week because you got the Thursday night game like we touched on. Green Bay-Chicago on Saturday night.
Yep.
You know, I mean – Green Bay, if they fall go backwards, because that could be the only way Detroit gets in, is if Green Bay, due to the injuries, falls apart. Tampa, Carolina for first place, like we said. Chargers and Cowboys. Really, the Chargers need it more than the Cowboys, but it's a big game. Jacksonville, Denver is all of a sudden the game that everyone's looking at.
Real good game.
Pittsburgh at Detroit.
That's a big game. They both need to win.
Baltimore Sunday night. You know, both teams need it. I mean, not that New England won't make the playoffs, but they're trying to hold on to the division.
Yeah.
And then San Francisco, Indy on Monday. Both teams need it. I mean, there are almost half the schedule this week. Actually, literally half the schedule this week are huge games.
Really games,
Huge games. So it's going to be fun. And a lot of them are on primetime. Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Four great primetime games. Plus, you got Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Jacksonville, Denver. One of those teams will be your window on the 4:15 on Sunday afternoon. So some good stuff going on, guys. Good stuff in the NFL.
All right, Kev, you got some gems for us?
Yeah. So we'll start with the Jets. Since Jacksonville came into the league, the Jets have made 8 trips down to Jacksonville since 1996. They have never gone down there with a winning record. That almost seems impossible, doesn't it? Except to remember, it's the Jets. The Broncos are going to the playoffs. They've made the playoffs 23 seasons. They've got a win in 11 of those seasons. However, only one quarterback drafted by the Broncos has ever won a playoff game for them. Any idea?
The only quarterback ever drafted by the Broncos is Tebow? Win the playoff game for them. Tebow?
It's Tim Tebow.
Because Elway was drafted by the Colts, and Manning obviously wasn't there, and Craig Morton was a Cowboy. I was trying to go through. Yep. The only one I could think of was Tebow.
And that win was a wild playoff game. I remember that.
Oh, he threw like a screen pass, and he took the Steelers to the house.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are on pace to score more than 29 points a game and give up more than 29 points a game. Only other team to do that, the 2000 Rams.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Kyle Pitts last week.
I don't think I would have guessed the Rams, but wow.
Kyle Pitts had that huge game last week. 166 yards, 11 catches, 3 touchdowns.
On my fantasy bench.
He's played 75 games in his career. That game alone accounts for 7% of his entire fantasy career in one game.
Oh, God.
The Steelers, though, with Connor Haywood and Jonnu Smith, two tight ends, both scored a rushing touchdown. First time in NFL history, two tight ends have rushed for a touchdown in the same game. Awesome. And the Chiefs, last time they missed the playoffs was 2014. 9-7 record, so they had a good year. Alex Smith was a quarterback. He played 15 of the 16 games, accounted for all 18 touchdown passes.
Wow.
He had five to Jamal Charles, 5 to Travis Kelce, 4 to Anthony Fasano, and other running backs combined for 4. What position had no touchdown catches that year?
Apparently wide receiver.
Wide receiver had no touchdown catches.
I would have not known it except for you gave me the other positions. You made it easier for me.
And those are my hidden gems for the week.
That's awesome.
All right. Darren, let's head over to college football.
The world of college football. Okay, and listen, first I'm going to start with a quick recap. Army-Navy, it's still one of my favorite games of the year. Listen, I root for Army. Everyone knows that if you listen to the show. Navy comes back down 16-7, scores the last 10 points of the game, wins the game 17-16. They get to sing second. Congratulations to Navy, Horvath, the whole thing.
Yep.
Army, on their last 4 drives, had 12 plays for -1 yard. They had the lead, and then they just didn't do anything with it. They settled for a couple of field goals from in close.
Yeah.
Another one was a little bit longer than that. You know, a bad interception late. Kev, I mean, it was a fun game, competitive game. Two teams that play really hard. That all the student athletes, so to speak, are giving their time to the service right afterwards. Just admirable, Kev. Right.
That to me, I want to see a good game there. I want to see a close competitive game. I hate. A couple of years ago, Navy was on that upswing where my Army was really down. It was a blowout for a few years in a row there. Always great to see a close game. I thought Army had it. Yeah. And, fourth down 6, and Navy went for it down close and got the touchdown pass.
It's a good win for Navy. Yep. Keeps their good season alive. Army had a solid comeback season. It looked like it was going to be brutal after the way they started, and they kind of came back. And now we get to the playoff, boys. Been waiting 2 weeks for this. Before we get into it, I'm going to get to all the games. I know this; it's because of TV scheduling. But the fact that the Saturday night game is James Madison at Oregon with a 21-point spread really just kind of teased me off a little bit. That should be a feature matchup. This feature matchup should not be Saturday at noon. Kev?
Thankfully, we have Packers-Bears to watch.
Yeah, I mean, basically that's what they've done. They've said, okay, no one's going to watch TNT anyway. Let's put on Oregon-James Madison. With a 21-point spread, and we're going to play the best game on Saturday at noon.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit weird, but, hey, listen, it's the way it goes. And now James Madison gets to play under the lights in Outzen across the country on Saturday night. But we're going to go chronological here, okay? Friday night, the matchup 9-8, okay, Gino? We got Alabama going at the Gaylord Stadium in Norman, Oklahoma, against the 8-seed Oklahoma Sooners. ABC's where you're going to watch at 7:30 start. Oklahoma's a 1.5-point favorite. You got Fowler and Herbstreit doing this one. Winner plays Indiana in the Rose Bowl the following week. Oklahoma won a matchup with Bama just a few weeks back, 23-21, despite Bama doubling them in yards, doubling them in first downs, but they committed the three turnovers. Kev, where do you want to start with this one? I'm going to kick it off with you on this one.
Yeah, like you said, Alabama really should have won that game 2-1 in yardage, but the three turnovers killed them. Oklahoma's defense is really good. Alabama, I don't like the way they struggled against Auburn 3 weeks ago, and they got really manhandled by Georgia in the SEC championship game. Their offense is so one-dimensional. Oklahoma's 1-4 in a row. The defense is playing well. It's a point and a half at home. I'm going to take Oklahoma.
Gino, what are you thinking?
Two big defenses. I like the home team. It's only a point and a half. I know Alabama's trying to get revenge for that regular season loss, but I think it's Oklahoma minus the points in this one. Give me Oklahoma.
Okay, I mean, the thing about this game, the stat is Alabama's never lost to the same team twice in the season since 1893. But how often do you play the same team in the season? So it maybe back in the day you did a little bit more, but it doesn't really happen much anymore. Oklahoma's number 7 in scoring defense, Alabama 12. Alabama's, 39th in offense. Oklahoma's 77th. Oklahoma just seems to be a little bit of a gritty team that finds a way offensively to just do enough. But my problem is I just don't trust their offense enough. I think that, you know, they're bad with penalties. They're 101st in the country. I'm going to take Alabama. I think Alabama's going to find a way on the road. I don't think it's going to be in any way a non-competitive game. This game's got underwritten all over, which is right around 40.5. I'm going to take this game as a 17-13 Alabama escape. And I'm going to go with the Crimson Tide. They head to the Rose Bowl and be like a 9-point underdog to Indiana if you ever thought you'd see that in your life. Now we go to Saturday games. The other feature game plays Saturday at noon. ABC's your spot again. We get Sean McDonough and Greg McElroy on the call. A&M's a 3.5-point favorite. The winner goes and plays Ohio State at the Cotton Bowl. So for the second straight year, there's a chance Ohio State will have to play a Texas team. May not happen. In Texas, in the second round, despite being the higher seed. Last year, they had to play the University of Texas in the Cotton Bowl. This year, they had this. So it's also an awkward matchup for them. I don't understand how they set it all up. Gee, why don't we kick it off with you? Who do you like in the Miami-Texas A&M game?
So Miami's going to bring the high-powered offense to Kyle Field. They're going to face the Aggies. They're looking to bounce back from the late-season rivalry loss that they had. I'm taking Miami plus the points. I got a feeling Miami's going to come out and play really well in this game. Texas A&M is going to give them a fight. But I don't know. I think it's going to get really close in really close games. I want the points. Give me Miami plus the 3.5. Kev?
If this was a night game, I'd really be all over A&M. 12th man under the lights down there in Texas. Like I said, Miami's rolled the last 4 weeks, you know, it's like 37-10 average. I think Texas A&M was a little too penalized for one loss to a real good Texas squad. They're home. It's only 3.5. I'm going to take Texas A&M to win by a touchdown.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. Miami is great against the run, right? Can A&M run the ball, which is an important part of the way they play. So when you look at overall on defense, scoring defense, Miami is 6th in the country. A&M is 41st. Scoring offense the other way, A&M's 14, Miami is 20. A&M is number 2 in sacks, so they do get pressure on the ball. This game's going to be one in the trenches. It's really what's going to come down to. Will the Miami offensive line be able to control the Texas pass rush? Will the Texas A&M offensive line be able to move the ball against Miami? I've been on A&M all year. I can't go against them now. It's been a team I picked at the beginning to make the playoff, which was a big enough upset in certain ways. I think they find a way. I think they're going to win this game. I see it's a little bit more high scoring. Miami's a little more one-dimensional offensively, more of a passing team, while A&M's a little more balanced. I think that they'll win the game, I don't know, 31-24. I'm going to take A&M to win this one. We go to 3:30 in the afternoon, Saturday, in the matchup everybody's been waiting for, okay? We get Tulane at Ole Miss, TNT, in case you can't find it. 3:30, 17.5-point spread in this one. Mississippi State, the favorite. They played once before, won by 35. You get the great Joe Tessitore with Jesse Palmer on the call. Winner plays Georgia at the Sugar Bowl. So now, if Tulane happens to upset Ole Miss, this will be a home game for Tulane when they play Georgia. Not a big deal, but they are a New Orleans school. But nonetheless, I don't know how they pick where the bowl games play, but there's where we're at. Again, like I said, 17.5 is the spread. Kev, let's start with you on this one.
Yeah, September 20th, 45-10, Ole Miss. And I think this Ole Miss team comes out. I think the players are going to be pissed off about what Lane Kiffin's done. I think they're going to take it out on Tulane. I see this one. I see Ole Miss winning by 24, 28 points. I don't think this one's close.
Okay.
Gene? I agree. I think Ole Miss – listen, Ole Miss, they average nearly 40 points a game. I think that's right on the button. I think it's like 41-20. I think they covered. Give me Ole Miss. I just don't think Tulane can put up enough points to stay with this team. Darren?
Yeah, Ole Miss crushed them, like we said. Sumrall is leaving. He's coaching the game. He's leaving for Florida. Kiffin's already gone. The game is simple. Can Tulane control the clock and run the ball against Ole Miss? That's really what it comes down to. If they can control the clock, they can keep the game close. If they can sit there and get first downs running the ball, again, it's another game in the trenches, which is going to be the key. Tulane's only shot is to make it ugly. I think they do. I don't think they win, but I think it's a 31-20 game. I think that they stick with Ole Miss. I think they make it competitive. They get a little angry after getting blown out the first time. I'll be the lone wolf, and I'll take the Tulane green wave. And then Saturday night, we already alluded to this thriller. We have the Dukes from James Madison at 12-1 against Oregon Ducks in Outson Stadium at 11-1. TNT once again, the place to go. Bob was choosing on the call with Lewis Riddick. Winner gets to play Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl, so no one will be anywhere close to it. Who do you like, G? Where are you going with this one?
I think James Madison gets torched in this game. I don't think they can keep up with Oregon in this game. Give me Oregon minus the 21.5. Kev?
Yep.
I tell you, Darren, what you said about Tulane is sort of my feeling about James Madison. It's not a strong Sun Belt, but James Madison could run the ball. They've played good defense. They're among the nation's leaders in time of possession. If they can control the pace of play a little bit and slow down Oregon just a little bit, I think they can cover this. I mean, they might lose by 17 or 20, but I think 21.5, I'll take my chances. I'll take James Madison plus all those points.
Okay, here's the most interesting stat with these two teams. So if you look at scoring offense in the country, Oregon's 9, James Madison is 10th. Look at scoring defense, Oregon is 9, James Madison is 10th. You can't make that up. I mean, it's just that they're that close statistically. But the quality of opponent makes it a big difference. The one thing that stands out with James Madison, they're number 2 in the nation in time of possession. And they're going to need that in order to win this game, much like Kev said. I think Oregon's going to cover this game. But I think that I'm going to bet heavy on the first half of James Madison being in this game. I can see this game being 14-10 and Oregon pulling away in the second half, figuring it out. They make more big plays than anybody. Their wide receivers are finally getting healthy. They have the best tight end in the country. And I think even though James Madison is excellent defensively, they really are. And it's not bull. It's not crap. All right. They're really talented defensively. It's not like because they have the competition. They're good. But I think Oregon will just start making big plays. And then once they're up, I think they'll just find a way to pile it on a little bit. Maybe James Madison pressing on offense, not controlling the clock. And I think it'll be 35-10 will be my guess. I'm going to take Oregon to barely cover. So that's it. Nope, not one game that all four of us picked the same. So that's interesting. And yep. I didn't have to adjust my pick on any of them just to be different. So that's cool too. So that's what we're looking at. Next week will be a little bit more in depth because we're actually expecting a great quarterfinal in this with all the matchups that should happen. No matter who wins the 8-9 or the 10-7 game, it'll be a great quarterfinal. And you expect – it's hard not to expect Ole Miss and Oregon to get through to make good matchups with Ole Miss Georgia rematch and, you know, a lot of fun things like that. But before we leave college football, two things. Number one, I'm going to start with Diego Pavia, who showed he's a classy kid at the Heisman when he yelled, F the voters. Listen, I understand when a 19-year-old does something, but you're a 6th-year senior. You're not a child anymore. You're a man now. I mean, he found a way to make people root against Vanderbilt football. How hard is that? There's nobody in the world that would root against Vanderbilt football. They've never done a thing. And also, this idiot, with his mouth, had to find a way to make people say, oh, the Vanderbilt's a classless. It's not. They've never done anything. And now all of a sudden people are mad at Vanderbilt and this kid because he's an idiot. I know he came and apologized 3 days later, but who cares? Kev, did it shock you as much as it shocked me?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's like 32 years old already. Man, time to grow up, you know. I mean, the stuff, you know, when they came in to meet everybody and he's got like the earbuds dangling down and everything else, you know, you see Mendoza come up, you know, the firm handshake and everything else, all the other guys there. He just rubbed me the whole way, wrong way, the whole awards thing. And then the F the voters, come on.
Just a classless move. He was like trying to be Johnny Manziel, and he has the same kind of charisma, but he's 4 years older.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different, or 5 years older, something like that. The other college football story we have to cover a little bit of Sharon Moore. Okay, fired as the coach of Michigan. Apparently, you know, having an affair with one of the staffers, and got her pregnant, from what I understand now. I didn't know that part, but now I heard he might have. I'm not 100% sure on that. That's what I read today. I didn't get to follow up on it much because we do work, so it's not that easy to follow up on this stuff. Then had a big fight with his wife, escaped, went to the staffer's house, threatened to kill himself, threatened to kill her from everything that we're hearing about. Then when he got released from jail, called an OnlyFans model to ask how much a foursome would be. So now we have all this interesting thing about Sharon Moore, who – probably, I don't know, inherited something crazy when he took over for Harbaugh, who left Michigan in kind of shambles. But, you know, Gino, this is about as crazy a thing as – and the facts still come out. I don't even know what to say about this. And Michigan's got no coaches really to go after anymore. They're all gone. I mean, listen, they'll find somebody. They'll throw money at somebody and get them. But, gee, I mean, nuts.
Crazy story. It's just a crazy story from start to finish so far. It's just a crazy story.
It's unbelievable. Kev?
Brian Kelly's going to show up there and say, hey, I'll take a job. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the Sharon Moore stuff, though, my goodness, that was just – I mean, it's one thing, you know, have the affair, yeah, you know.
But all this other stuff, Kev, is
just – all the other stuff is the stuff that just says your career's done. You know, you see the Petrinos, you see – you know, go to the NBA, you see Ubuka.
Yep.
Fired by the Celtics, he gets a job a couple of years later. You know, I mean, he had Patino. A chance to.
We go right to Patino. Who had a little coach in China.
Yep. You know, yeah. But when you start, you know, with the forced break-in and the threatening to kill her, threatening to kill yourself, that's just mental instability.
For a 38-year-old man that seems to have the world by the whatever, just lost it all in a bad moment and just kind of crazy. Agreed.
Yeah. All right, Darren, you got some buried treasures for us?
I got a couple for us, all right? We're going to start with the NHL. Jerry Cheevers, the great Jerry Cheevers, in 1971-72 went 32 straight NHL games without a loss.
Wow.
Longest stretch ever. You know, and you know, just think about that. It lasts forever. The second on that list is goalie Pete Peters, also with Boston. He did 31 games, 82-83. And third on that list is also Pete Peters. When he was with Philly 2 years later, the 27 from 79-80. So we talk about all these great goalies, and Pete Peters never comes up. And Jerry Cheevers never comes up. That, I mean, everybody talks about Dryden. Everybody talks about all these great goalies. Wow. And they talk about all these amazing guys. These guys had stretches that were crazy. The longest Islander stretch, by the way, just for you guys, any guess?
You think Smith?
It was Chico.
It was Chico, okay.
Chico has the eye on the record of most games in the 78-79 season. Chico has the longest stretch.
Wow.
NBA, 42 years ago this week, we had the thrilling defensive battle between Detroit and Denver, which finished at 186-184. Just some stats from the game. Kiki Vandeweghe had 51 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Alex English added 47 points and 12 assists. It was in regulation, by the way. Dan Issel poured in a pedestrian 28. On Detroit side, Isaiah had 47 points and 17 assists. John Long, who you didn't really hear much from in his career, had 41 in that game, and the great Kelly Chipuka poured in 35, who never saw a shot he didn't like. But just a 186-184 thriller. They would love that in today's NBA. They would. That was before everybody was shooting threes all over the place. But it was great Doug Moe back then. Moe versus Daly before Daly had the bad boys going bad. A couple of NFL ones for you guys. Did you know Todd Gurley is still tied for fifth in rushing touchdowns since 2015?
Wow.
He hasn't played a game since 2020. He's still fifth with most rushing touchdowns since 2015. That's how many he had in those 5 years.
Wow.
Quentin Jammer revealed that in 2011, he played drunk at least 8 of the 15 games he suited up for the Chargers. You know, he was the number 5 overall pick in the 2002 draft. But Bobby Lane says, hold my beer. Bobby Lane set an NFL record by completing 20 passes with a 917 completion percentage while having a blood alcohol level that was legally dead. You heard me correctly. I looked it up with three sources because I was like, are they exaggerating? They're joking. Legally dead. And his whole thing was that, you know, yeah, life's a party. So Bobby Lane had that. That's where I'm going to leave us with the buried treasures for this week.
Wow.
But, yeah, I thought the Bobby Lane one was like, wow. Kev?
Can I give you one, though? And
yeah.
Let me go the opposite of your NBA score.
Yep.
Monday was the 52nd anniversary. Tennessee beat Temple 11-6 in an NCAA basketball game. It was 7-5 at halftime.
So they were exploding in the first half.
Temple held the ball for 32 minutes.
Well, before the shot clock, things happened.
Before the shot clock, and Temple was protesting.
That must have, been an exciting second half if you were in the stands, Kev.
All the points in the second half were fouls because the other team was trying to get the ball back eventually.
Oh, yeah, God.
The funniest thing I remember with that, and it happened a few times, but I remember watching a Big 8 championship game between Missouri and Oklahoma State, and you know, the game was low scoring throughout. Oklahoma State had to keep it low. And then all of a sudden, Missouri wins the tap in overtime. Shot it with 3 seconds left. They stood there for 5 minutes. Literally 3 seconds left. Hit the shot. They went to Stepanovich at the time. Hits the shot. And they won 50-48. And it was just like one of those things. But that's the way college basketball used to be. The shot clock was important. I agree.
Yeah.
G, wow. Back to you, pal.
All right. We'll head over to baseball. So we've had some free agent moves. We'll get to the Yankees and Mets in 1 minute. Let me go through the list. If you guys have a comment, throw it out. Yastrzemski signed with Atlanta, 2 for $23 million. Suarez signed with Atlanta for 3 for $45 million. Dustin May signed with St. Louis. Kenley Jansen went to Detroit for 1 year for $11 million.
That's a good signing for them.
It is. Merrill Kelly goes back to Arizona after being traded to the Rangers, 2 for $40 million.
Schools like Matt Campton.
Josh Bell, 1 year, right. $7 million. Tyler Rogers signed with Toronto, 3 for $37 million. And Adolis Garcia signed with Philly for 1 year for $10 million and then failed the physical. And they apparently found that he was doing some kind of PEDs and he's now suspended for 80 games. So the contract is null and void before it even got basically. MLB didn't even process the actual contract at that point. All right.
Unbelievable.
Today also, one other move, Brad Keller, the reliever, signed with Philadelphia for 2 years, $22 million. On the Yankee side, Ahmed Rosario re-signed 1 year, $2.5 million. Mets have made two moves since we were last on. Jorge Polanco signed a 2 year, $40 million contract, and today they have an affinity we didn't know for ex-Yankee relievers. They signed Luke Weaver for 2 years for $22 million. Maybe they're going to convert him to a starter too, Darren. Him and
Holmes.
Holmes, excuse me.
Yeah. The thing about it is with the Mets is I'm going to give Stearns this, as much as I'm not a huge fan. I think he just simply refuses to give anybody more than he thinks they're worth. And I think he just holds to his guns. But as the Met GM, you have to get you have to. You see, the Braves are even adding now. You know, the Phillies are still good. You got to try to compete with them a little bit. You got to put a little protection in there for Soto. I don't think Weaver's a bad signing. I don't think Polanco's a bad player. I think they're both guys that'll help. I'd like to see them. I think the Mets have to do something. They have to make a splash, whether it's a big trade where the Padres are rumored to trade to everybody. Maybe it's the Mets, or they have to find a way just to get one of these top 10, 15 free agents to come on, whether it be Bregman or whether it be, Framber Valdez or Gallen or one of these guys, because they have to do something, in my opinion, Kev. I just think they have to do a little bit more. The Yankees just don't care, but the Mets seem to care.
I'm so pissed, Kev. I'm beyond pissed. Luke, I mean, Devin Williams or Luke Weaver with Diaz would have been fine. But the fact that we get those two and not Diaz over what turned out to be a couple million or a couple of years of deferred money. What the hell? And then he wants to talk run prevention. That's his whole run prevention. We can't sign Pete because he's a terrible defensive first baseman. What, Jorge Polanco's one batter of experience at first base in major leagues is that much of an eye-opener? Oh, we like his positioning or something like that? What the hell is he doing?
I have to imagine they're going after Bellinger. If it's really run prevention, that's the guy. His glove is that good. But how many lefty bats do you need on this lineup?
I mean, you know, this is a guy that 2 years ago, he was so bad. He was worst second baseman in baseball in outs above average at second base. He was so bad that the Mariners had him DH most of the time last year. Now you want him in the mix at first base for $20 million for 2 years? I mean, what the hell? I just don't understand what the hell they're doing. It's just and then with Weaver, I mean, yeah, he's a nice addition. You know, you got the makings of a decent bullpen, but I still don't trust anybody in the ninth inning. That's the problem with losing Diaz. And who's next? You know, Mark Leiter going to sign with them? We're going to wait for next year and get the next Yankee ex-closer and Bednar next year?
We got Ahmed Rosario back. Cashman's like away in surgery or something. He doesn't even care.
So
Cashman loves the fact that he looks like the competent GM right now.
He's an idiot.
I rethought some of our discussion from last week.
Okay.
And I would like to change my opinion. And if they are going to sign one player, I think I want it to be Bichette.
Me too.
And not Bellinger.
I honestly do too. Do you want to trade Jazz though? Because they're talking about dealing Jazz. I would rather.
No, but I still think there's a way. Because I know Bichette actually today came out and said that he'd be willing to play second base also now. So I think there's a way that maybe it's Bichette and Jazz stays here if there's no other free agent that signs. I don't know. I kind of was talking about it in my head to myself, and I came to the conclusion that maybe Bichette is the better option to sign over Bellinger. If that's the case, though, I will tell you, I will miss Bellinger's bat in that stadium because that swing is just like made for that stadium.
I'm going to miss his glove, G, because the amount of plays he made in left field that saved runs and saved games. I'm not talking about it was like 30 times, but it was like four or five where he made these shoestring catches that were just unbelievably impressive. I love Bellinger too. I do. I just like the idea of upgrading my shortstop position because it's so weak, and I have two kids that can play left.
Let me ask you this though, right? So, assuming the Yankees are going to sign one of them, okay? Mm-hmm. Which one of those two you think signed somewhere else first?
Well, to me, if the Mets don't make the run at Bellinger when they talk about run prevention, I don't know what they're doing. All right, then the whole thing that Stearns is saying is a lie.
Okay.
So I think Bellinger, I think Bichette could go anywhere. Bichette's biggest problem is he's got to stay healthy, right?
Right.
Bellinger's biggest issue is he has up and down seasons where he has a great year and a bad year, a great year and a bad year. But when you see him in your lineup, even when he's in a little bit of a slump, you just feel like he's got a good shot of getting a hit. He's got such a pretty swing. I don't know why, but you have a little bit more confidence than watching some of these other guys do it. You know, I think Bellinger would sign elsewhere before Bichette.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I got one other baseball point before we move on. Would you guys be favorable if baseball – and they won't, but if baseball decided to – because it won't happen, but if baseball said, okay – the free agency period is now 2 weeks long or 3 weeks long.
Yeah.
You know, from the start of the winter meetings, basically everybody's got to be signed by, I don't know, December 30th. So at least there's some kind of timeline, because the longer, like the last couple of years we've seen it, the longer this goes on, like I feel like the less, like there's no buildup. And that's like one of the things I think we really like about the NFL free agent period, where it's like there's a slew of moves and it's like 2 days, 3 days, and then that's it, because it's like everybody's everywhere. And here it's like just this slow buildup. I don't know. What are we going to do with Bellinger? I don't know. Is anybody going off? It's out there.
Major League Baseball is all driven by Boris and the other agents that make the determination in a lot of ways. The only guys that sign early are the guys that really want to sign early, I think. It's kind of crazy. I'd love it if they did that, G.
Yeah.
I think it would be awesome.
The best news I heard for the Mets today, though.
What was that?
McClain's got a pitch for Team USA in the WBC.
Very excited about that. He'll jump up and down after a big one-run win, and you'll have another injury, Kev.
Yep. I have those nightmares.
One last question for you guys. So if the rumors are true, and a lot of things are pointing to Skubal ending up in the Dodger organization, does Major League Baseball have to start stepping in now? Because I don't know if they can, but doesn't it seem like they're getting everybody, and it's just I don't know. Maybe that's the way people felt about the Yankees back in the day. It just seems like it's a little bit extreme.
Go ahead, Kev.
The thing that bothers me most, I think, is the deferred money.
I agree.
I think completely, they're playing the accounting game, the accounting rule games with the salary cap. Now, I get rid of these stupid deferred money contracts.
Yeah, I agree. Because the deferred contracts are what enables them to sign all of these other players. And then as a result, they don't need all these other prospects. And that's what allows them to make some of these deals, like this potential one that they're talking about for Skubal.
It's like they're paying Shohei $2 million a year.
Yeah, I agree.
Guys, the problem's going to be that if they find a way to pull this one off, the stoppage at the end of 26
it could last the full season.
We could lose a whole season of baseball.
Yeah,
I agree.
And not just that. I mean, it's going to be hard cap or nothing. There's going to be such a battle that has no chance of ending in any way amicably or early.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 2027 is going to be a brutal year for baseball. And so I think it's going to be tough anyway. But if this happens, I think it puts it over the top. Bless you, G. I think it'll be really tough.
It's not going to be pretty. I'll put it to you that way.
It is. It's scary stuff.
All right, Kev, NBA?
Yeah, you know, kudos to the Knicks and the organization. Congrats to the players for going out there and winning this NBA Cup. You know, you go out to Vegas, beat a good Spurs team that's finally healthy and full. So terrific win for them. Kudos to the organization for saying, yeah, it's great for the players. Friday, we got to mention it before the game, let the fans applaud. We're not putting the stupid banner up in the rafters like the Bucks and the Lakers did for the first two. It doesn't mean anything. The only banner that matters will be the next NBA championship banner they put up. That's all this franchise needs, is an NBA championship banner. I don't want this other crap for a made-up NBA cup. You know, come on.
I agree with you. I hate the NBA cup. I
completely agree.
I hate the floors. I hate everything they do with it. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
No matter what you want it to be, it's not UEFA Cup. It's none of the stuff from European soccer, no matter what you think it is. It's nothing.
These games are going to put in the separate standings for the hell of it.
It's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
The NBA is a joke.
All right.
I have one other point, Darren? If you guys don't mind. Louisiana college, high school football. I don't know if you know how this game ended. So – Shaw's down 21-20 kicking the extra point. They're down 21-20 kicking the extra point, and the kid shanks it, this kid Milioto. Right? So, the other team, I'm blanking on the name of the team, they get the ball. They have to kneel on it three times, and the game's over. On the third kneel down, the kid takes his helmet off by accident too early to celebrate. Gets the penalty, stops the clock. Now they're forced to punt. The punter shanks it. Okay? They made one play. They get downwards, a 44-yard field goal. The kid that missed the field goal hits it, missed the extra point, hits the field goal to win 23-21, all because the kid on the other team, the Eagles, I can't remember the school name, takes his helmet off to celebrate before the game has ended. And That's the way the Louisiana High School Championship ended. Unbelievable. You can't make it up. You feel bad for the – you're happy for the kicker that got redemption. You feel bad for the kid that took his helmet off. He'll always be known as the kid that took his helmet off. Yep. I mean, you know, in that town forever, in this small town in Louisiana somewhere. But just nuts. Just feel awful for the kid and happy for the other kid. So we'll see what happens with their futures going forward. Another thing real quick, Joel Klatt came out. And basically talking about how there shouldn't be Cinderellas in college football. Nobody wants it. The only reason they do is to avoid antitrust litigation, which I get. I understand that. He came out with a statement right after that saying that the NCAA college basketball tournament is the dumbest thing that ever happened to sports because nobody cares that George Mason beats Kentucky. And nobody cares. They just want to see the best teams. And obviously, listen, I think Joel Klatt's pretty good with college football. Stick with college football because there's a reason why that tournament does so well, by the way. And it took college football how many years to finally get a playoff system? So I think he should shut his hole. That's just my opinion of Joel Klatt. I know that, you know, he's allowed his opinion just like we're allowed ours, but I love the NCAA tournament even though it's not quite what it used to be. Just my take on it. You boys have anything else before we wrap up?
Nope. No. Let's move to NFL bets.
Absolutely.
I got some Kings ransom bets. So on a note to start, I have now hit a teaser in each of the last 3 weeks that I have put it up. Nice. Week 12, 14, and 15. I didn't do them in 13. So in that notion, I got two teasers and a bet. I'm going to give it to you. The first one is plus 1,500. It is Philadelphia minus 6.5. Hurts with a touchdown and Barkley with 2 touchdowns. They're playing my Commanders this week. I think they're going to put a lot of points up on the board. Kev, you
can apparently.
Plus 1,500 is the first one. Second one is a 6-point teaser. Plus 140 on a 6-point 3-team teaser. I'm going to tease the Rams to plus 7.5. Philadelphia down to minus a half and Denver to plus 3. That's my 6-point teaser. Okay. And because I've been hitting the teaser so well, we're going to do a 7-point teaser. This is going to be 4 teams that are going to be plus 180. So the 7-point tease, we're going to tease the Bears to plus 8.5. We're going to tease Buffalo to minus 3. We're going to tease the Chargers to plus 9.5. And we're going to tease Detroit to even. Those are my 3 Kings ransom bets for week 16 of the NFL season. Week 16, by the way, only 2 weeks left after this in the regular season. When it flies in the NFL, let me tell you.
Awesome. Thank God. Thank God as a Jeff fan.
Yeah. Let's just watch the playoff with the good teams now.
Yeah.
All right. Last week, Kev, you were 2 out of 3 on the NFL bets. We are 67-68. With 3 weeks left, we need to be over 500, guys. Kev, you have the tee box to start us off.
Yeah, the Bucks didn't blow it Thursday night. We've been another 3-0.
You would have, yes.
Up 14. I thought I had the gold.
You should have. You should have.
This week, I'm going to start with, you know, probably the biggest spread on the board there, if not one of them. Texans minus 14.5 against the Raiders. I mean, I think the Texans name their score here. If this isn't at least 3 touchdowns, the Raiders are pitiful. Texans should be able to shut them down. I mean, this could be 21-3, and they cover. I don't see Raiders scoring more than 3 points here. They'll take Houston laying the 14.5.
Darren?
You know, I'm going to start with Thursday. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to take the tightest game in the board. I'm taking Seattle laying 1.5 in a must-win for them if they want to win the division. I think that Seattle finds a way at home and escapes against a good Rams. I think these are 2 really good teams. These might be the 2 best teams in the NFC. I'm taking the Seahawks minus 1.5.
All right, my first one's a Saturday game. I'm going against my Commanders. They got nothing left. We're done. We got our win against the Giants last week. Philadelphia minus 6.5. I'm taking them all day. I think, unfortunately for me, this is not going to be a good game. A lot of points scored and a lot not in my direction. Give me Philly minus 6.5 to start. Kev?
I'm going Saturday night. They played a great game a couple weeks ago. The Packers won at home. I think the Bears turn around, especially without Michael Parsons. It's going to be interesting to see what the Packers defense does. Bears getting the 1.5 at home. I'm going to take the Bears.
Okay. I'm gonna take the Vikings on the road laying 3 at the Giants. I just think they're better. I think they played better the last couple of weeks. I think J.J. McCarthy has found something. I don't know if he'll bring it on the road, but he did do it in Dallas. Let's see if he can do it 2 weeks in a row. I think the Vikings lay in the 3.
All right, my second pick. I am taking the Chargers plus 1.5 at the Cowboys. I was surprised when I saw this line. I thought this would be the opposite way, but I know the Chargers are a little banged up, but they're going to make the playoffs. Give me the Chargers plus 1.5 in game 2. Darren, Kev?
I'm going to go with the battle for first place here. Neither team really inspires much confidence, but the Panthers are home and they're home dogs by a field goal. I'm going to take the Panthers. I have not liked the way the Bucs have played at all. Like you said earlier, Baker looks like he's hurt a lot. I think the Panthers somehow find a way to pull this one out by a field goal, and the fact that they're getting points is a bonus.
I'm going a mile high. I'm taking Denver laying the 3 against Jacksonville. I just think they're a little bit better. I think Jacksonville going up against a real defense is going to be confused in the first half and not knowing what to do with themselves. I think Denver will jump out to a lead on them. And I think that because they played against a team with no resistance last week, the resistance will completely throw them off. I'm going to take Denver to win this game, and I think they'll win by 10.
I like that game, actually. Okay, my last game. I'm taking New England on the road in Baltimore plus the 3.5. I don't have faith in the Ravens right now. I know they played well for a couple of games. I can't believe I'm taking the Pats plus the points in Baltimore, but I am. Give me New England plus the 3.5.
I think the spreads this year, by the way, have been a little – I mean, the Chiefs have been favored in games they shouldn't be. The Ravens still get to be favorites in a lot of games, a little higher than I would think they would be. I think there's just certain teams that just keep getting the benefit of that. Eagles – spreads have been a little high. Not this week. I think they're better than the Redskins. I'm sorry, the Commanders. But but a lot of times I just feel like they're just going off history on this stuff. And oh yeah, the Chiefs, and they're 6-8. You know, so just the way it works. Anyway, you guys have anything else before we wrap up?
Nope.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Gino, here with Kevin. Talk about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where 11 weeks after I said fire the guy, they finally fire the guy. Not that I want to see anyone lose their job. Listen, download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. We also, post a lot on social media. Like our stuff. If you don't like it, pretend you like it. You know, fake it. Hit like anyway. We're posting every bowl game, giving you every option to see who's playing who and who to bet, because we're really good at this. Kev's already 3-0, damn it. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.